Jason Raby, who he is the city administrator over in Beloit, and he joins us usually at the end of each month to talk about what's going on in his job and how it affects all of us in the area and, of course, the city of Beloit. And, Jason, welcome once again. And I know you're getting primed already into baseball season, and you're going to be the next Whitey Herzog or or be Yosted, Ned Yost, or whatever, whoever the manager is. You've got a bigger, more important job, certainly that is of city administrator, and one of the biggest parts of your job right now is water quality. And I know you've given us updates before, but there's more to share since we last spoke with you a month ago.
Thanks, Wade, for having me on again. I think about every single time we've been together here the last three or four times, we've talked about, water, and it's a hot topic. And the city of Beloit, obviously it's important, you need quality water for residents and safe water. Some updates and some changes have happened the last couple of weeks since we last talked. I guess kind of going again backwards a little bit, we have always struggled with some quality issues, taste, odor. I know that's been concerns for residents for a lot of years. I mean, researching some of the files I have in my office, it goes back 10, 15, 20 years, and probably just anecdotally even further back, some of that taste and odor and quality issues. In 2006, the EPA put together some rules, proposed some rules that would look at byproducts from disinfection. Okay, so now we're starting to get talking about safety. Okay, so in 2013, those rules went into effect. And so, surprise, about third quarter, it's a running average type rule, okay? So it's looking at this certain threshold and a four-quarter average. In third quarter of 2014, City of Beloit started violating that particular regulation, okay? And it's basically an organic, it's a byproduct, it's called bromide. It's coming from the Dakota Sandstone. It's in the lake here, it's in the water supply there. So we're not necessarily talking runoff or some of the taste, odor, turbidity. We've obviously people talk about their filters and they have stuff in them, and I understand that. But this is more from the water quality or water safety side of things that we've been sending out letters, having those violations here for about the last 2 years. And basically what you're talking about there is that you hit water with ammonia and chlorine to disinfect it. And that chlorine is basically in contact with that bromide for too long. Okay, we inject it at a certain point in our filtration process. We have this kind of a sedimentation, and just the water just kind of goes through different holding areas, if you want to put it simply. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's hit about halfway there, and so it's just sitting there reacting with that bromide. And again, I'm not an engineer or scientist, but I'm kind of giving you the layman's version here. At some point, that creates too much TTHM, is kind of what they've called this disinfection byproduct. Okay, and so the regulation allows you to have 80, and it might be 8 parts per million. I'm not sure, but let's just say that's a number. Okay, that threshold 80, and we're currently our four quarter average is about 100. Okay, so we're just hitting above it. I know some of the other rural water districts are struggling with it too, because again, it's a naturally occurring surface water, organic in the water. So we've talked all about that. So that's something that we have. 2 years ago, we brought in somebody to help us with the taste and odor issue, and I think that has improved from what I've understood. And obviously, just been here for a few months, it seems to be doing better. Not necessarily the how much materials in the water, mm-hmm. people still have that in their filters, etc. But that's probably only going to change with a new facility that can handle really getting the water really clean. We talked about that turbidity issue in the past. But as far as the safety side, we also in 2015 we started addressing that, saying, hey, this is also an issue. Obviously in third quarter 14 we realized it's not going to go away, it's continuing to stay pretty steady. So the same engineer started working on that, and basically in order to change your treatment process, which is a pretty simple thing we're asking for, we're just saying, hey, we want to move the chlorine injection point from the middle of the process to the back third of it. Okay, so less contact time, more of those bromides have been brought out of the water with other materials to grab them and pull them out of the water and get us below that 80 threshold. So we have to do, before, if you had a licensed operator, you could just do that. You know, as long as there was some chlorine left over in the water supply at a sample point, say at your house, that means that, hey, the water wasn't disinfected. You know, it was disinfected. It's safe. Okay. Well, now we have to, it's been new ruled by KDHE to have to do a profile and benchmarking. So basically profile your water and do some benchmarking and do some CT calculations to find out mathematically that if we move the water here, you know, through some formulas that, yes, we will still have a certain amount of chlorine residuals in the water at those sample points, okay, before they will approve that. And so basically what's happened the last year and a half is just, I guess if I sum it up, is probably a lot of analysis paralysis. We've had a lot of, obviously, as we know with the state, where the state's at from a budget standpoint, KDHE, especially in the municipal water supply area, is also really struggling with engineers and staff. We were, to kind of fast forward now a little bit, so we've been doing some submittals. We've had some issues back and forth, you know, some comments. So when I got on board October, November, I had a phone call with KDHE, and they relayed their expectations for what those submittals should look like. I relayed that to an engineer. We've had a lot of set of eyes on that. We made that submittal on January 17th. We've talked about that. Still haven't gotten that back from review. Well, about a month ago, we got a letter from the EPA. The EPA is really the, in this particular area, this TTHM issue, compliance issue, they are the enforcer. KDHE is not certified to be the enforcer of it. That's who you get it approved through and get it fixed, and they're the ones that kind of you deal with on it. But the EPA is the one that says, hey, you got to have this done. Well, obviously, with Flint happening a couple years ago, they're very sensitive, and so they've had this is kind of a they're just going to start sending letters out to people. So while you never want to see that letter, it is negotiable. It's just something they want to kind of, like we talked about a little bit, maybe at different meetings. I know I've talked to Chad about a little bit, is they just want to have a timeline, just some easy teeth. It's something that it's nothing. They're not, how do you put this? It sounds scarier than it is. And that's coming straight from the EPA's mouth when we met with them. So we I requested a meeting with the EPA and KDHE because I really wanted to get in the room and say, hey, exactly what do we have to do to move this along? Because the city of Beloit's really approached this as a two-prong approach. Obviously, we feel like we can fix the compliance issue with a process change. Okay, so that's really doesn't cost a lot. It's simple, should be easy if we can get this through KDHE. But also, we're still looking long-term to say, hey, how do we have an aging plant. You know, it's been there for a long time. Water's getting tougher to treat. You know, the regulations, as I just mentioned earlier in the interview here, are getting more strict. So how can we look at that as well? But I don't really want the EPA to say, hey, here's the thresholds you got to meet when you got to meet them and spend all this money.
Right.
I'd rather just get them out of the picture. So we requested that meeting at Topeka. We went there with a team and on Monday, and we had a great hour and a half discussion with them about, you know, how we feel this two-prong approach can kind of fix that. And we'd rather the second prong of possibly a new plant or refurbishing or whatever we talk about, I'd really like that to be on our timeline. But the change in disinfection, we feel very strongly that it'll work, that we can get this through, and we have no incentive to not try to make this happen. So we made that very clear to KDHE, and the EPA was on board with it and excited about it. And I think I know we've talked about it several times, but we're really close on that part of it. And that's really a simple change. We already have the plumbing in place. We've had it since September to do it. We're just waiting for KDHE to say, yep, go ahead and flip the switch. And so we're going to be able to modify that order that the EPA has given us to kind of work that in there, say, hey, let's give this a shot, this part of it, and potentially then they go away and we can continue to work on if a new plant or refurbishing or whatever we call it is the right option for, you know, issues other than just this particular safety issue.
Right.
So that's kind of the update on that part of it, Wade.
Jason Raby is the city administrator of Beloit. Do you have nightmares or dreams about water? Because, I mean, you update us each time that you've been here. You've had all these meetings about water, and I don't mean to slight the project because it is extremely important. I said it before you even came on. To me, it's the number one issue for, really, honestly, it should be probably the number one issue for about anywhere.
Yeah,
because we all need water in one form or another.
Yeah, it really does. It's one of those, I don't know how to describe it, I've thought about it. It's probably one of the most frustrating issues I've ever had to deal with because I am ready, willing, and able, even, you know, obviously the city is, to do anything. I mean, like I think I explained to you guys, it's a pretty simple solution I think we have here, but we're so caught up in the bureaucratic, proving that it's going to work, and we're not we're not going to put something new in the water. We're just saying, hey, there's still going to be chlorine. You know, it's still going to be disinfected. It'll still be safe.
Yeah.
I mean, common sense from a lot of engineers saying, yeah, it's going to work.
Yeah.
But they're so worried about, which I understand, you know, a P not being capitalized or a dot, you know, not here or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what half the comments are, is more grammatical. So it's extremely frustrating because it feels like it's such a simple issue. And we're, you know, the KDHE keeps referring, telling me, like, hey, we're worried about staff and you need to make sure it's a good submittal. And I understand that. But now we've got, you know, bigger people involved where now we all spend an hour and a half in Topeka telling me about staff.
Right.
And I think really, you know, if legislators are listening or anybody is listening, you know, it highlights that we have a problem with water in Kansas, really. I mean, and a lot of states do, but especially in Kansas, you know, so the surface water stuff. And this is not unique to us or, you know, and I know that this EPA office also deals in Missouri. They said they've got a lot of them in Missouri too. And, but yet we only have one engineer in that office in Topeka that can deal with this stuff. They just lost another one that we thought they had and went to the meeting and said, nope, he's moving on. So that tells me that there's a huge problem because not only did to get somebody on, this is not just somebody you hire and he knows what's going on or she knows what's going on. They have to be trained and understand the regulations. Speed. Yeah. So
specialized field. Yeah.
So that's what's really scary and frustrating because, you know, I have a front and back page here you guys can see of the timeline for the last 2 years of what City of Beloit has done to try to get this done. I mean, I have 70 email exchanges just in the last 5 months. I've dealt with this person at KDHE saying, where are we at? I'm always the one going out there. Where are we at? Give me an update.
Right. Yeah, stay on top of it.
And so that to me is probably even the bigger issue with all this. Yeah, Beloit's important, very important to me. Like I told you, EPA, we have no incentive to not fix this. It's our number one issue. That's all we think about. We've already thrown serious dollars at this time. But the fact that they don't have the staff and the resources to even review, I mean, 3 million people. We're not that big of a state, but still 3 million people in Kansas. And we've got one guy and how many systems? I mean, that's a pretty scary thing. So, so, you know, for the legislators out there, I mean, I know there's not dollars everywhere, but that's, you know, the EPA barking down on everybody, which that's their job, and they've gotten burned a little bit. But we don't even have the dollars and resources to get a simple process changed through.
Yeah. And water affects every single person.
Correct.
I don't know of anybody that isn't affected by that.
Correct.
Okay. Briefly, if you can give us a quick overview of the sidewalk project. I know there's been some sidewalks put in near your... I was like, man, you must have some pull because there was a sidewalk being improved right near the Raby residence.
Yeah.
And then also the street projects.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's really exciting. We have the Safe Routes to School. And I went out and shelled some bucks out to get my sidewalk put in. And obviously, the city, we have that sidewalk program. We've had it for a few years where you can get your concrete paid for.
I think yours is the only one that I've seen done.
Right across the street, right up the street it was last year. So, no.
But that's a joke.
Yeah, but it's actually great. That's why, you know, obviously I live on a main drag, so it's kind of everybody sees it. So I was like, you know, it's a good way. We don't ever, a lot of people don't tap that, you know, and it is expensive. I mean, obviously. Sure. What I paid for people to put it in costs way more than the free concrete I got for parts of it. You know, obviously up to my house, that isn't included, that type of thing. But, it's going to be great for kids. And I think it just is a highlight for other projects and for that program being out there. So if you have questions, call me, get in contact with me, and we can get you set up. But the Safe Routes to School, that's all been done. All the temporary construction easements have been signed and submitted. And so that's to KDOT for bid letting. And hopefully late summer, early fall, that'll commence. And that's more on the 12th and 4th Street areas.
Right.
And so that'll be kind of that one big project. And so that's going to be great as well. So kind of a side note with that is we have that Healthy Eating Active Living Committee that has started meeting, and really what they're trying to do is kind of look at a bigger picture. You know, for example, you bring up the sidewalk, you know, NCK Aware has already done a lot of work on grading all those transportation routes, you know, as far as walking, biking, whatever you want to do, running. And so they've graded a lot of those sidewalks, you know, obviously before, if you saw my sidewalk, I had some nice ramps in there, and there's some other ones just like that, you know, where trees and, you know, or, you know, age, whatever. Right. So there's a lot of potential to use different resources to continue to piece all that together. And what this HEAL committee is doing is really trying to figure out, hey, where do we want to go? Where are those hot spots? You know, how are we getting from point A to point B? You know, I mean, 8th Street even. You know, how do you walk from, you know, I got people walking down 8th Street all the time, and they're using part of my sidewalk even, and then my yard, because there was no sidewalk there. So people want to get through those different hot spots. So how do we tie that all together, and how do, when we do future roads or drainage projects or whatever, are we making concession for people. You know, we've got young people. We want to draw young people, but also we have a retirement population that's looking for safe places to walk and move.
Sure.
You know, besides in a gym or, you know, in or at the wellness center, which is great facilities.
Yeah, but it's nice
let's get outside.
You
yeah,
like to get outside.
Yeah, and sure, you don't want them to trip on the sidewalk. So, so yeah, I think that there's a lot of exciting things with that stuff going on.
And the street projects.
Yeah, you got East Main. That's humming along. You know, they got the first two components poured. There's about two more phases, one major one. That's where you're going to really see a lot of change, because that road, if you realize, you know, that hill going up out of towards Casey's, that's going to get really shaved down. If you kind of go in that Casey's parking lot, see that portion they paved and kind of see where the road is existing, mm-hmm. you kind of notice it's not mm-hmm. matching up. Well, obviously they're going to tear that out, but it's really going to get really change the look of that whole area and the drivability and safety of it. Mm-hmm. So they're doing well there. Court Street, they've just the road crew has had 10 working days into it so far. So that's been perfect. They've got a lot accomplished. They have the other side of the street to do a little bit more, to do some curb and gutter and sidewalks. And then they already have the road to grade. And so once they get electric and water out of there, which they're pretty close, they're going to be able to pour. So if the weather keeps cooperating like mm-hmm. it has been, it could get, you know, they put budgeted 40 working days, and I think they could get it done significantly faster. So it's going to be mm-hmm. great. So now we're kind of chomping at, hey, where's another? Yeah. And you obviously got the rest of Court Street. There's some different things as options. So want to keep them busy and keep them going.
Absolutely. So, yeah. All right. Anything else we should know about before we let you go?
No, just keep everybody. I guess one thing, you know, we had some burglaries in the cars the other day. And so just getting people, just keep locking
alert.
Your doors. Be alert. Yep. Close your garage doors. It's unfortunate in a small town. We have to do those things, but that's just it's everywhere like that. Even my previous community, Iowa, we always having to coach people on that. So mm-hmm. there, people are looking for easy targets, unfortunately, but that's about it, I guess. So
outstanding.
Yep.
Well, Jason, next time we talk to you, will you have a different title?
Yep, be correct. Yep. So we're
party at Raby's house. Yeah, promotion
we're,
party.
Yeah, we're 4 days out, so I just have to be good for four more days.
Just four more days. Then you got it for the rest of your life.
Right.
And
right.
Roll my golf cart up on his brand new sidewalk.
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't you do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, all the kids that like to like ramp with their bikes, with their wheelies and stuff, are going to be disappointed without those big cracks.
Those sidewalks were my favorite when I was a kid. The windy up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
There's still some down the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, we still have
the roots were growing up out of the side. There's still some of those in Beloit. You just got to look a little bit more. There's one less.
And then
one
I'd have to go get a bike.
Yeah, well, that would be helpful
too.
I have a bike, it collects dust. 38 degrees, our temperature, 809 is our time. Thanks to Jason Raby, City Administrator of Beloit. We appreciate his time every month to talk about the issues that are going on that he's dealing with that affect all of us in our communities. And Community Matters brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit, Metro County Hospital Health Systems.